It brings this picture to my mind of that wise woman with a quiet and nurturing spirit, but she like commands honor and respect, right? She isn't there to take up space, but hold space for the woman she's called to serve, to grow and fill as she finds her way to her baby. Yet she has wisdom of her own, wisdom and strength to offer, knowing exactly when to offer it and when to let her, this birthing woman rise on her own.
Holy Wild Birth is a podcast embracing the reclamation of giving birth, rooted in God's original design, undisturbed.
Here, we share homebirth stories highlighting God's presence as the great midwife, as well as conversations about all aspects of a holistic, spirit-led childbearing year. From the perspectives of myself, traditional midwife Lauren Hall of Rooted in Eden Private Contract Association,
and me, holistic doula and birth keeper Brooke Collier of Sister Birth.
To choose a holy wild birth journey is to consecrate all your decisions unto the Lord.
And to reclaim creation unadulterated by centuries of human attempts to control and improve upon what God has already called good.
Please remember, birth is not a medical event, but a natural process. We are not your care providers, and this should not be taken as medical advice. Hey, friend, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Long time no see in the recording studio.
Right. Yeah. In a sense, long time
in a no sense. See. For just the podcast, right?
Right.
So
well, I'm glad to be back today to record an episode. And even though I don't know if it's gonna be like the start of a new season per se, we do have a little bit of an episode to drop today, and that feels good.
Yeah, it does. So hi listeners. I know that we've been kind of radio silent for a little bit, but we have just a good conversation to start off with, and a continuation of that teaser we gave you last time we chatted. So yeah, what you want to talk about today, Brooke?
Yeah, we wanted to chat about something that you and I have been having some behind the scenes conversations about, I think, and just reflecting on the role of birth attendants and how sometimes they can make such an enormous impact for the good on the flow of a birth and the outcome of a birth. And other times it seems like minimally helpful at best, or even the opposite of helpful. And so we've had a little bit of talk about that in the Believing Birth Keepers circle too. And just we're seeing also, I think, both in the Natural Christian Home Birth Group and in private conversations you and I each have with people, a lot of inquiries about, like, where would you recommend I go get my doula training? And it's just gotten the wheels spinning, I guess, about, like, where would we send people? Because what makes, how can you work backwards? Like, what does make a really good birth attendant?
Yeah.
And then once you're clear on what makes a good one, then how do you get them there? Like, what right. kinds of trainings or processes does that person need to go through to become that kind of person? So
yeah,
that's what we were going to talk about today, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it's such a, you know, it's this big topic. And I feel like, I don't know, there is, I like you said, I really want to focus on, like, what makes a great birth attendant and how do we get them there, instead of the opposite of, like, this is, like, you could easily take this conversation and be like, well, bad birth attendant is this, this, and that, and how they can be detrimental. But if we are just taking the posture of, like, who are we for? What are we for? I think that it's just a better mindset and perspective altogether. And I think I don't know, it feels like a very needed for this time as we talk about both autonomy and, like, the juxtaposition of, like, wanting a wise woman in your space, right? Like, there's this so much of taking back our rights in the birth room and, you know, removing it from the system and having personal autonomy and personal responsibility and, you know, really the unassisted viewpoint. But then recognizing that we were designed to be in community and mm-hmm. that support is a good thing and we don't have to be alone. And so it's that like, okay, can we find the balance of the pendulum swing of that excessive birth attendance to the, you have to be alone in order to have autonomy. Like, can we just, how do we support one another well? And, mm-hmm. it just, to me, it exudes the way of the hearth mother that we've talked about in the past. It's just that wise woman. It's that mentorship. It's that guide. Someone who is not trying to control, you know, the birthing woman, or her process or her journey, but is just saying, I'm here with you. But she has wisdom and she's coming with that wisdom. It's not that she's just there, without knowing her own, you know, like she's walked her own journey to being in that room. And, I think that that's also super important that they're coming in with a competency, and I guess that's like, what should they be competent in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of what they're competent in, which parts should they use each time and which parts do they just need to keep in their bag and sit on their hands,
right? Keep in their bag. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know one gal I was talking about, you and I were both talking to recently, was sharing even from the perspective of somebody who had gone through some training to be a birth attendant, had found herself in a situation where she just felt like not quite able to hold space for the enormity of what was going on in front of her and just feeling when push came to shove, like just not actually equipped for that. And that's like not something we want to see happen for somebody who wants to be a birth attendant. So, but that is such a hard thing to teach in a 3-day doula workshop is how do you, how do you hold space for the magnitude of what's happening physiologically, spiritually, emotionally in a birth room, especially if you're the only person there and there's not like a, like if you're a birth keeper, for instance, attending an unassisted birth, then you need a different skill set than if you're like a doula who's kind of like working under or in the presence of a midwife or OB.
So
you need somebody who knows how to hold space. And then another friend of the BBKC shared this list with me. I thought I would just read to us. I asked her, what do you think makes a good birth keeper? Someone who's patient, kind, gentle, self-aware, relatable, willing to be there or not. I think what she means there is like upon the request of the woman, ultimately. Someone who's honest, wise, seeks the Lord, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone who's clear in their role and holds authority, but doesn't hold authority over someone. Someone who can read a room and is in tune with themselves in the spiritual realm. Someone who has self-control. It's quite a list. It's long, and I also feel like I can add things.
Right? Absolutely. And, you know, it just reminds me so much of like the fruit of the spirit and just discipleship and get just picture of, you know, women mentoring women that the word talks about. It's just that like that wise woman. And even recently, I even think about I was diving into like the wailing women that's talked about in Jeremiah and how that's connected to the wise women of the community and that those women that actually were called on to for what they called keening, or like if there was loss, there was these women that were called to begin the mourning process to usher them into that grief. And they were often midwives. And so just knowing that culturally was really interesting to me. It's because women that are in this role, midwife, birth keeper, doula, you know, just if we just erase all of that, like someone witnessing birth, in that wise space, holding that space and guarding that space, like they can stay in the place of death or birth or really any of the intense magnitude of emotion that life and humanity can throw at us. They're just able to really
be that support. It brings this picture to my mind of that wise woman with a quiet and nurturing spirit, but she like commands honor and respect, right? She isn't there to take up space, but hold space for the woman she's called to serve, to grow and fill as she finds her way to her baby. Yet she has wisdom of her own, wisdom and strength to offer, knowing exactly when to offer it and when to let her, you know, this birthing woman rise on her own. I think that was always part of what women were supposed to do for each other. And yeah, our culture has kind of stripped that and mutilated it. And I love seeing that rising up, that call. I think people are feeling that call to return back to that older way of support in community, in the home, in relationship, right? That it's not this business model, but like relational based intimacy that feels way more like a ministry, whether it's a business or not, but like that has that heart of servanthood. That's really what I think embodies a good birth attendant.
And that's that sisterly tone comes in for me too when I think about it. I mean, that's the name of my business, right? Sister birth.
Right.
Because energy of like, I like to talk about, you can think of me as like a slightly older sister who's walked a little bit further down this road with you or than you have up to this point and is willing to just accompany you and be with you in it and not hold back in sharing freely from any of the knowledge I've acquired, the skills I've acquired, and just my heart and my affection. And that is so relational. It kind of is blurry. So like, you know, usually in doula land, we talk about scope of practice and professional boundaries. And I don't know, for me, both as a recipient of birth attendants in my space and as one who gives that, I kind of crave those lines to get a little blurry. And I know that's like not recommended in, you know, in professional, like professional midwife or doula land. And yet that blurriness is where I think that relational component, that's so very important for
it is
for how a woman experiences her birth journey. That's where that comes in. We have to be able and willing to let the lines get a little blurry. With that, and that's not saying no boundaries, obviously. I hope that's clear, but like
not at all.
Boundaries, because we have boundaries in our personal relationships too. Like, you have boundaries with your husband, you have boundaries with your kids, you have boundaries with your sister and your mother, whatever. But
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, as far as you're talking about like the scope of practice and things, I do think that there's some lines that are drawn a little bit more from a covering your own versus actually serving well. And I think that should get, it should be, it's just messy. I mean, all of birth is messy and raw. And I think that when we try and start putting it into the system, that system requires boxes and clean lines and order. And because it's, you know, it's a larger scale. But when you go into the intimate and when you step out of that system into relational one-on-one, when you're midwifing or birthkeeping or whatever, when you are attending women with just for Jesus and for women, from a place of, like I always say, I don't midwife without Jesus, and midwifery is based on relationship first. Like, those two are like important pillars to me. And I think that applies to all birth attendants, from my viewpoint, in this perspective. It's just, this is about doing it for Jesus and the women that you're called to serve. And I think that if you start on that foundation, it really paves the way to being able to show up well for them in those skills of witnessing, in those skills of even knowing when and when a tool is not necessary for that woman, whether she's going to want that tool or not, all of those things.
I also think, to kind of pivot a little bit, because we've talked a ton about that relationship and the witness part that is so not in those 3-day doula trainings.
Right.
But then there's also, I've seen so much of the kind of, okay, all women need is for you to be there. And like a lack of the competency showing up, a lack of understanding of like true physiology and how that process works, and just not really knowing when things are not normal. And when, you know, like just having competency in the actual process of birth. Like, are you showing up as an expert in birth and an expert in normal birth? Or, you know, like, I think you need both. You have to be able to know how to witness and know how to guard a space and hold a space. And every time I hear that word, I picture, it was Emily Graham, was one of my teachers in my midwifery school. And she would actually put her hands up instead of, you know, like hold space. A lot of people think hold and they immediately kind of put their hands out in front of them and like hold something. But she would say, I think holding space is actually like holding the walls out, like putting your hands out from herself and like holding the walls up. She's like, I'm guarding this. I'm holding the space out so nothing is coming in at her and that she can just be in this space. And I always, so I always have that mental picture of her going, let's hold the space almost away from her to give her space, to give her room, to do whatever she needs to do. And that takes this ability to be still and really to know why you're doing this work. Like, why are we here in the first place? Are we trying to save them from their own trauma? You know, because we've had our own trauma experiences and we're trying to save someone else from experiencing the same thing we have, or, you know, like that's really can quickly run into a savior mentality, and then sets us up for this us versus them mindset. You know, we need to make sure we're coming into this work not needing people to need us, because we're not going to end up leaving these women empowered and stronger. We're going to enable codependency, right? You know, I also really think, and all of my students will tell you, this is what I talk about almost every single time I bring it back to what is our philosophy? Like, what are we bringing to the table? Because we move from that. We move from our beliefs. And so our belief systems are going to play a huge part in how we show up for women and how we respond to the variations of normal and even what could be considered pathological. You know, these core beliefs, like, do you believe the body was made by a wise and loving designer, which lends to a belief of a wise design with the ability to do well what it was designed to do and heal itself? Or do you believe in a process of like evolution where the body has to improve itself in order to survive, which essentially it may or may not be well designed for birth and it's still adapting to fix its brokenness, right? And that's what we see in that medical model. They don't believe in a wise design. They don't believe in a body that can heal itself. And so they operate from that place. And so if we learn about birth from a place that has a different philosophy, you know, like that's the kind of fruit we're going to bear. I also think about things like, you know, a belief that the body, soul, and spirit are deeply interconnected versus a belief that can be separated, and that birth is simply a physical process and the body is undergoing that. And, you know, the emotional or our mindsets or trauma doesn't have anything to do with it. Or a belief that baby is a mindless participant? Or do we have a belief that it's a tiny, wise human, deeply known masterpiece that reacts to the presence of Jesus, like John the Baptist did, right? Like they react to the presence of Jesus inside the womb. And as Psalm 8 tells us, is a mouth that has been ordained praises, even in infancy. So all of these differing beliefs are going to shape
how we show up for women and babies that we serve. And so, it comes down to like writing out that mission, vision, and belief and moving from those places. And did that training support that? It's also, that we've talked about the competency and her skill set, but knowing how to sit silently and doing seemingly nothing, like, are we so well acquainted to the silence that it isn't awkward? Because I think that's how we begin to come into this space going, I'm not sure I'm prepared because I thought I was supposed to be doing something, but I kind of know I'm not supposed to be doing anything because I want to hold space, but what does that look like? And I need to prove that I'm actually worth something. And, that really takes the experience of just sitting in a place and not feeling awkward in silence. I think of another really great skill that's not taught very often is one that has to be used in the prenatal period and really the whole childbearing year, but it's that asking good questions, attunement to the woman in front of you and like really good active listening skills and being able to peel back the layers and give a space for her to work through her stuff or find out where the root of things are. I think that being confident in yourself and your knowledge while knowing how to be that wise guide I mentioned earlier, that you're not trying to call the shots, you're not trying to control things and be a director, but knowing when to offer that wisdom and when not to, and let, like I said, let her rise to the occasion before her, because that's where that empowerment comes from. That's where that transformation comes from, when she is leaning not on you, but on Jesus. So I have always mentioned this idea of, in the non-certification, non-licensure world, we talk about like, well, how do you know? Like, how do you know that you've arrived, that you can do this work? And it's, to me, I think it's about you earning that title because your community trusts you, right? That there's this long experiential, you've collected wisdom. I say of the hearth mother model, she collected her wisdom like she collected her white hairs. There's not this one and done mentality of like, I've checked it off, I am certified, I can do the thing. But this place of humility to go, I'm going to be forever learning, I'm going to be forever becoming. As you become, you build that trust in your community, and your community recognizes it and comes to you and wants what you have to offer, whether it be like skill or support or presence and, all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So I think finally what it takes a really good birth attendant that we haven't mentioned is also that you have a community of peers and mentorship around you to support that continued growing, because doing this work as a lone wolf is really antithetical to a with woman calling, and to attend to mystery alone, well, it's just far too easy to get lost and confused if you're out here alone. We need support in and of itself as well.
Yeah, that's all so well said, friend. And I think that kind of brings us to, as you listeners will remember, we had kind of dropped a little bit of a hint for you guys that we were pausing this podcast in order to work on something else. And this brings us to that, is that in this conversation about what makes a good birth keeper and birth attendant, and how do we make them that way, we're like, there seems to be a bit of a gap. And I think the gap for me became apparent because I kept being asked, what doula training certification program would you recommend we go through? And they're asking me and Lauren, because they know that we align with them in certain ways, right? Like we align, like we're really holistic. We're very like kind of hands-off traditional kind of mentality about birth. And we're also believers. So they're like wanting a recommendation from us that will kind of align with those bits. And also, honestly, we're really rooted in a home birth model too. So,
right.
So they're saying like, which one can I go to? And we're like, don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that, granted, that could be partly because I don't know of every program that exists out there in the world. And I certainly haven't done like a full survey of all the options, but we're like, it seems like there might be a gap here.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely felt like a gap. You know, and it's kind of a lot of the same thing when we started this podcast, right? There, we saw this gap of the years, the kind of Christian, but more mainstream side of birth. Like they're Christian and they're rooted, but it seems like they're not in the holistic or the physiological birth side, or they're getting that really great, but it's kind of rooted or wrapped up in like pagan ideals or new age belief systems and just not have a biblical philosophy. And so there's a lot of having to pick and choose and piece together your education. And I know I did. I feel like most of the people I know in this field of work, whatever role, there was a lot of having to piece together, you know, reading this book and this book and, you know, taking that course and spitting out the bones and, you know, and just having to mesh together their own journey.
Oh yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the thing we're working on is an answer to that very question that we keep getting, like where can we go to start this work? You know, whether it be a doula or a birth keeper or student midwife, like, how do I get into this work? How do I do it well? And so the thing we're working on is actually this very discipleship feeling training program for women who are called to serve other women in the childbearing year. So we're calling it Hearth Mother Journey, Raising the Next Generation of Holy Wild Birth Keepers.
I love that subtitle.
I know, right?
Holy wild,
we're a little excited.
We are excited.
Yeah. So who is this for? Yeah. Let them know. But
it's funny though, because we're kind of like reluctantly excited too, because like Lauren has, right, the midwifery school, and I have like the stuff for moms, like who are, and we're like, the thing we're missing clearly here is this middle piece of like not actually midwife yet, but also not the mom. And we're like, it was almost like the slow awakening too. If we met in the middle here and combined forces, we might be able to come up with something that's really great, but also like on our own independently, neither of us felt up to it. Same as with a podcast, like don't really want to do that alone, but together. Okay. So
yeah,
with reluctance that has turned into genuine joy, we are creating this Hearth Mother Journey.
It's
for any of you who feel called to walk with women through the childbearing journey, wearing any title or hat that you want to call it, really. Like doula, birth keeper, childbirth educator, childbirth coach or mentor. Like you don't want to actually attend births, but you want to like kind of coach women through the process leading up to and after maybe. Who else? And future midwives, of course. Like if you are on that track, but you know you can't jump into full-on midwifery school yet, this is an amazing prerequisite for that.
Right. And actually is going to be, and it like as this is the prerequisite for the Anointed Midwifery Unschool. Because really this is about, this is for everyone because it's not a specific, while you'll get the tools and things you would need to be a doula, but you're also going to get it's just the foundational. How are you going to show up for women? How are you going to do your inner work? Like this is the path of doing this work rooted on Jesus, doing this work from a ministry mindset, even as you're running a business, and then getting all the physiological foundational pieces of birth and the design that God created. So however you're serving women, you need these foundations. So I think that that's why it's not just a doula course. It is a doula course, but it's also a birth keeper course. It's also the first steps of a midwifery course. It's, you know, however you're showing up. So, I'm super excited about it. I think that it's exactly what,
people are looking for, that women are mm-hmm. looking for this guidance. So, yeah.
And what's so cool is, I think this was a little bit of a Holy Spirit download that was given to Lauren, but you guys may remember our episode called The Way of the Hearth Mother. And it became kind of clear that it was almost like a light bulb kind of moment, I think, of like, oh, the whole course could be hung on that framework of the Way of the Hearth Mother, and applying that way to you as a birth attendant. Like, how do you walk through that process of becoming and acting as a birth attendant in the Hearth Mother way? And then also, how do you assist the women and families you're working with to move through their pregnancy and birth in that lens? And so it kind of ended up becoming like, oh, this will be a beautiful structure of just modules for each of the steps, basically, with a couple tweaks. And just feeling like that is going to lay the best foundation we could possibly imagine for not just getting prepared to play a specific role in a specific event, but for becoming the woman that that God can best like work through in those roles. So it's kind of a, just like when you have a baby for the first time, you move from being a maiden to a mother. This is kind of like Lauren put it, like moving from being a handmaiden to a hearth mother, like maiden to mother in a serving way. Right. Is that, I don't know. Do you want to say more about that? Cause I love your
absolutely.
Way of talking about it.
So the handmaiden, if you're unfamiliar with that word, it's a word that actually the Greek word doula is often translated to handmaiden in the scriptures. And it's actually one of my favorite places we find it is Mary, when she's being told she's going to carry Jesus. She calls herself the handmaiden of the Lord, like, do unto me, I'm your handmaiden. And so she's actually saying to the Lord that she's his doula, which is just fascinating. And there's some fun things to really chew on there. But that is that servant, that to walk with women, to be a servant that we're all called to. So like, if you're feeling like I'm walking this role, I'm called as a handmaiden to the Lord. I'm called as a handmaiden. But also we want to become that wise woman. We want to become the wise woman in our communities. And again, I would encourage you to go back to the Way of the Hearth Mother podcast that we release, but there's that story at the very beginning that is all about this just deeply beautiful wise woman. This hearth mother calls women, come forth, and forth they came. And it's just, this is the picture I have for this course, is that journey of, you know, of women walking with other women as they learn to walk with women. Like, it is just building a community and helping not get you certified to serve somebody. You know, this is not going to be a certification program. We're not trying to like check off, yep, you're a validated doula or whatever. You know, you will get a certificate of completion, like to show and, you know, of what you have done, but this isn't about certifying you or getting external validation in your ability to walk with women.
Yes.
This is about becoming, which is just a continual life journey, honestly, but it's a deep work. And that's actually because it's the handmaiden to hearth mother journey. And we are going to walk you deeply through each one of the hearth mother journey steps, as well as having even a business that is ministry module that walks through the whole thing. It's a huge becoming, and we thought it would be quite appropriate for it to be a 9-month course. So the length of a pregnancy, you know, including lots of ebb and flow for you to really follow the cycles of your own body and be able to have times of really input and digesting and integrating that information, and then doing some output and creating and processing and all of that. So it's not like a hardcore, you're just doing a ton of things for that 9 months. It's going to be an ebb and a flow of each month. You will be working through a module that will have times of activity and times of like integrate, rest, recharge on this, think about it, digest it, journal. So really
a beautiful picture of a pregnancy and all of the learning and evolving and transforming that happens in that. We're going to be walking you through that maiden to mother journey as well.
Yes. 9 months, guys. This is not your weekend doula course.
Not at all.
Not at all.
coming strong against the 3-day doula course.
Yes, we are. Very strong. but I think it'll be so rich. Like, if I think about having had the opportunity to go through this myself, like, years ago, I'm hungry for that. Weren't we hungry for that to be poured into in a like holistic way and to have a container that facilitates our growth and our knowledge of Jesus and, mm-hmm. and ourselves and a place to work out some of our stuff that gets in the way so that we can show up more effectively, not just for women in birth, but for our families and for our church communities,
absolutely,
et cetera. So I think it's going to be so rich and just, it's just going to be about more than birth. And
really, really discipleship. Like, I just keep getting that word. It's like a discipleship program. There's going to be Bible reading, and we're going to be praying over you every single month. And, you know, just times of really helping you grow and do the inner work yourself so that you can show up for women as a rooted in Christ, woman and becoming that wise woman for her to be able to lean on. Some really, you know, and I know that 9 months kind of can sound like, whoa, that's intense. But really, when I think about all of the piecing together we mentioned earlier, like, okay, you need this and we need that. And you end up spending, honestly, years trying to piece together that in, you know, you're on your own, you're doing the reading, you're reading all the books and you're, you know, and here we're going to be like, okay, we've laid out the journey for you. This is the, as much as encompassing to really get you a strong foundation that is biblically based, that includes how to really walk a woman through the way of the hearth mother for herself. That's going to have all of the like coaching, life coaching type of skill showing up. That's going to have all of the doula tools showing up. That's going to have all of the like, how to find the research and ask good questions and how to really, you know, be a good witness and do a tune to the space and, you know, how to answer up, how to create your boundaries and what that looks like a biblical world, having a biblical worldview in a fallen world when we have a lot of these other birth politics that come in that can get messy. You know, so it's encompassing. And I think that honestly, 9 months, it would take years to go through that if you're doing it on your own and to gain all of those separate, separate courses that people put together because they realize that 3-day doula course or that even 1-month doula course, whatever, wasn't encompassing all of those things. They just got basically one of our modules and then they go and try and find all of these other things to create it themselves. And so we're making that journey for you so that you can find your path a little bit more already trailblazed for you.
It's a little more efficient, we hope. And you'll be doing it in a cohort. So we're going to do a cohort model for this class too, which I'm really excited about because that will mean that after enrollment opens, there'll be like an enrollment period and then everyone will start their classes, their modules on the same day. And we're going to have you in cohort chat so you can really walk with one another and get to know one another deeply and engage conversation about the material and what's coming up for you. So just without me and Lauren, you'll have this cohort conversation, but then there will also be some mentoring calls with me and Lauren. So you have that input as well. What else do they need to know? Oh, Embrace Birth Journey is part of it because in our opinion, part of a good doula training program is that you need to have a really solid understanding of childbirth and pregnancy and postpartum so that you know what's going on in that process and how can you then come alongside a woman as she goes through that process. So all the students will have access to Embrace Birth Journey during these 9 months as well.
I think that that's especially the reason we're using Embrace Birth Journey for that too, is there's something special about sitting in from the perspective of a mom
as you learn, mm-hmm. because then as you sat in that space, you can't really effectively teach something you've not like learned it from that perspective. So going through Embrace Birth Journey, from a mom's perspective in that, and then we'll be adding on from the, like, okay, in order to teach this, in order to, you know, walk this out with someone, these are also the things to go deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be like learning on the one hand, what a mom is learning about how to navigate labor, while on the other hand, you're learning about what you as the birth attendant can offer her to support her as she walks through labor. Yeah. So it's kind of coming at it from both of those sides. From
both perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've kind of rambled about this a lot, but I think we've given you a pretty solid idea of what we're cooking up. And we have a wait list made already that we will definitely put the link for in the show notes. And highly recommend you, if this is like resonating with you, and as we're talking, your heart's skipping a beat, and you're just feeling that kind of like, oh, this is for me feeling, then please get on that wait list, because that's where we're going to definitely alert all of the people on that list first about when enrollment is open, which we hope will be sometime in August for classes starting sometime in September. And I know I'm not giving specific dates, but hopefully it's a good enough approximation.
Yeah. We're working it out. We're working it out.
Yeah.
So thank you for being patient for those dates. Definitely get on the wait list. And then when enrollment is open, there will be a beautiful sales page written out that details all the things and answers all of the questions. So all of that is coming. If we haven't talked about it, and I know you're teeming with questions, it's coming, I promise. So we will have a get on that wait list. And then as soon as the rest of the details are really put out in a way that is accessible, all of your questions will be answered there.
Yeah. So we'd love to see you on there. And if you do have questions, though, feel free to send them over, because then we can be sure to answer them on the sales page in case there's a question you guys have that we're not thinking about our own. So don't hesitate to ask. Right. We just might not answer immediately. Yeah, so that's what we've been up to, and we're so excited to tell you more soon. And please pray for us too, if you think of it, because it's a big undertaking. Building a course is a really, really, really big undertaking. There's things that come against it, and I think partly in the spiritual realm, because it's, you know, I think like something we're doing with God, but also just we could just use your prayers for like resiliency and stick-to-itiveness, and just for God to guide the content and all of the things, the technology to work and come together. So hold that in prayer, if you wouldn't mind, listeners. We appreciate it.
Yes, so very much appreciate it. All right. Well, I am so very excited and glad that we're able to kind of spill the beans now. And I think that's a good wrap.
Yeah. So let's pray before we say goodbye to you.
Yes.
Hey, Papa. I am excited about what it seems like you are doing and lighting a fire under the butts of so many of your daughters to learn how to come alongside one another as they go on this journey from maiden to mother and bringing new life into the world with you. I think it's such a beautiful impulse that you're birthing in your daughters. And we are grateful to be a small part of helping equip and raise and encourage that impulse, that unction, that calling in our sisters. And we just commit it to you and ask that you would continue to just walk us through it and show us how to teach it, how to instill it, how to pass on whatever you've entrusted us with. But then also I just pray that you would be, even now, as women listen to this podcast, that you would be stirring up the hearts of those who you are calling into this kind of work, whether it's in our program or not. I just pray that you would stoke that fire, fan those flames in her and speak to her and tell her vision and words and insight into what you've made her to do and be in this world, and that she will know that she can trust you with her calling and trust you with the path that you're asking her to walk, including the timing of it and the shape of it. And it would just be continuing to shape her, mold her, help her to become, and then keep connecting her intentionally and clearly with the resources that she needs to walk out that what you are putting on her heart to do and be. And if we get to be a small part of that through this Hearth Mother journey, we would be humbled and grateful. But this is bigger than that too. It's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So I just thank you for being such a good midwife to us, each of us individually. I know we've both, Lauren and I have both experienced you as a midwife in our lives, not just in actual birth, but in metaphorical ones as well. I just love knowing you that way. And I love your tender attention and care. And your way of companioning us through our lives. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ah, thank you for that, offering up that beautiful prayer for us. Very excited to be on this journey with you and excited to meet all of the women that we're going to get to walk with.
I know it's fun to think about. Who are they going to be?
Who are they going to be? All of these faces. Yes. All right. Well, can't wait to meet them. And till next time, I guess.
All right. Till next time.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Holy Wild Birth. We hope that you were genuinely encouraged, inspired, and challenged by what you heard today. If you're loving what you hear, please make sure that you share it. Leave reviews. That helps other mamas find this content as well. And don't forget to read the show notes, okay? Because that's where you can find our email address if you want to reach out to us and start a conversation. It's also where you'll find free offerings as well as invitations to work with me and or Lauren. We can't wait to get to know you. See you next week.